This podcast is intended for investment professionals.
Well, welcome to this episode of LGIM Talks. And today we are in conversation with Michelle Scrimgeour, our CEO of the last 5 months. I'm Sarah Aitken and I'm head of distribution. I mean, I look back at my interesting path into this career. What about you? I mean, what brought you in and why are you still here?
Why am I still here? Well, do you know, it's interesting. Listen, I really didn't have a plan, but I was drawn into the city because there were jobs available. And because of Big Bang, there were a number of opportunities that probably wouldn't have been there earlier. So I ended up really accidentally landing in asset management and then having a series of, I guess, really fortunate breaks that I made the most of, and discovering that asset management is different to other areas of financial services because it's longer term in nature, so it's less transactional investment banking. It's more immediate than maybe some others because you have the markets, which is fantastic. I've always been interested in the financial side. But ultimately, the reason it's long-term is because our clients are long-term.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And actually, the other thing about asset management, which is, I think, fabulous, is you can work in all different parts of an organisation. And LGIM is a fantastic example of that. It's not just about making the investment decision. It's also about how you talk to the client. It's also about how you deliver a service to a client. It's also about the operations, the technology, it's the risk. Everything comes together, which I think makes asset management a fabulous place to have a long-term career.
Are you sort of particularly looking at the city when you think about some of the things that changed? What were the things that stood out to you?
You know, the thing that's changed most, I think, and there are a number of things, but the environment is just far more inclusive. And when I look back to when I started and in those early days of my career and also your career, you kind of got used to being maybe the only woman in a room, in a meeting. I think, you know, what's happened also is, you know, the city feels far more international. You used to probably feel quite insular. And I think it's changed for the better in that respect. And London has probably also changed for the better. I think it's also interesting, Sarah, when you think about it, we talk a lot now about culture. I don't suppose anybody was talking about culture 30 years ago when we started.
I think it was seen as too soft, wasn't
it? It
wasn't relevant.
Yes, but I think it's now so relevant and increasingly so, whereas now we recognise it as being an imperative to get right. I'm not sure that many organisations in the city were talking about that at the time.
I agree. I'm always absolutely delighted when consultants and clients and people raise that to the top of the list and clearly try to explore what they think our culture is like. I think that's a terrific validation. I'm just glad I've lasted long enough to see that moment come round.
Me too.
So you were amazing. You actually stayed at that entity that was both Mercury, then Malim, then BlackRock for about 21 years. And I think you did a lot of different things when you were there.
I did. And actually, in the same way that I'd say my career started in a rather accidental way, the path that I took throughout my career then wasn't really planned. But what I would say is that when opportunities presented themselves, I went for them, and increasingly went for them with a bit of encouragement. And I guess that meant I got experiences that have really been helpful to this day. So it enabled me to move around the whole firm, which actually with hindsight is pretty good.
It's
really helpful. It means that in conversations, I guess you find this as well, I'm able to perhaps understand the detail of things a little bit more than I might have done otherwise. Not that I need to be in the detail, but I find for my way of thinking and approaching problems, having that understanding helps me. It helps me make decisions better, I hope.
I think it's incredibly important not to be afraid to open all the doors and all the boxes and see what's at the bottom of them.
I do
think that's absolutely critical. I do.
I guess that there's a midpoint in your career, I think, when it's quite easy to become or remain the technical specialist in the room,
yeah.
as opposed to being somebody who maybe goes on to lead other people. Mm. And it's not to say that either is wrong or right, but I think that transition from being that more technical person to being more of a leader of a team and an increasingly maybe large area needs a different style. Mm-hmm. And what I'm very grateful for is that there are a couple of people that I was working for who were incredibly supportive of me taking those next steps, but perhaps also saw something in me I didn't see. And they were prepared to let me fail if I didn't get it right, which I think is also important.
I do too.
You learn from your mistakes.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think it's harder to move sometimes the longer you're there. So
yeah.
you joined M&G then as head of risk and a board director and at a very interesting time, given everything that was going on in the world around you. So, again, that must have been a really useful, intense experience.
Yes. And I, again, would I say that I'm a natural chief risk officer? No, not really. What I think I brought to the risk role was a good understanding of business and how you apply that with a risk lens. Mm-hmm. So it's far more practical.
Critical.
What I also, though, definitely was part of was a move from regulators, shareholders, stakeholders, to really understand what was going on inside businesses. Mm. And that role is just so important now. Mm. So I learned a huge amount.
And I guess, again, anyone who knows you won't have been that surprised when the first CEO role came knocking on the door. And the next thing we heard is you popped up at Columbia Threadneedle, head of EMEA and APAC. Mm-hmm. So, again, very different again, American-based company, but presumably a very interesting, different experience.
Oh well, look, I mean, fantastic, and loved it, and of course, taking on a CEO role is different again. Can be a little bit scary. I won't lie, but I'm pleased with what I was able to do there in a very short space of time, but when this opportunity came along, Sarah, as you and I discussed, this is a different role again, and I was absolutely thrilled to bits to be approached, and I can't tell you how pleased I was to get the job. So critical for me was coming to an organisation where I felt that the culture was something that was a good culture, and that I would feel part of the fabric in a way that was natural to me.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh my God, it does. When I joined, and I joined for absolutely those reasons, I have to say one of the first offsites I attended was an investment team offsite, and the first morning session of the whole offsite was on culture. And I have to say, in all my years in the city, that has not been the first topic on an investment team offsite. So I was absolutely staggered, and that sense has not gone away. We lived up to your first impressions. I mean, what are the first impressions? Are they good or bad? I mean, we've heard you share one or two anecdotes on arrival, but how does it look from inside now?
Yes, I mean, look, and the important thing is you have an initial view, there's a gut feel, and then you test your view. And given what I said about the way that I approach problems, you won't be surprised to hear that I'm keeping on testing that view. So I'm still listening, still learning, my goodness. But my initial impressions of, really good people wanting to do the right thing, of having a genuine sense on the investment floors of wanting to perform for clients, but that how we put those capabilities together, I think in a very innovative way, that has been an upside surprise to me. I knew it from outside, but getting in and really finding out, that's been very important.
Because when you're a new CEO and you've been in the building for 5 months, everybody's on the edge of their seat waiting for some great pronouncement, some tablet coming down from the mountain. So we wonder, do you have a tablet and is it going to come down from the mountain?
I have a tablet, it's in my bag. Look, I think I've said this to a number of people. The job that I think I have here is to come in and build on what we already have, because what we already have is really very special, partly because of our culture, And partly because of our background, you know, being part of an organisation where LDI has been part of the way we approach the technical side of what we do for some of our pension clients over a very long time, the solutions mindset is here. Mm. We don't have to create it, it's here. Mm. And that, to me, is something that resonates with clients wherever I'm meeting them.
I guess one of the most important, interesting and frequent conversations we're having at the moment is on the subject of ESG. Mm. And actually, you know, wherever we go in the world, I mean, people are at different stages, but that is, it seems to me, to be sort of very high on people's lists. And again, I just welcome your observations sort of on how LGM approaches the whole topic and, you know, your views on the importance, really.
Oh, it's critical. Mm. And we don't have to make up a story about how we approach ESG, because this organisation has been talking about all elements of ESG for a very long time. And what I would observe is that it's clearly being raised by our clients in every conversation that we're having now. So this isn't something that is a nice to have anymore. Mm. I think it's important for all companies that they recognise there is a shift, and we all have to adapt to that. So for LGM, I think we have a lot to offer to our clients because we do really understand, and we try to make sure that we are not just understanding the inputs, but it's the output. What is the impact of what we're doing? Mm-hmm. So the conversations that we're able to have with clients at multiple levels, Sarah, I hope will be long-term helpful. Mm. But this is no longer a nice to have.
Mm. I mean, when you do pan out a bit and talk about the industry more generally, I don't want to sort of lower the tone by talking about some of the near-term political challenges, but there clearly are some quite big challenges out there in terms of, you know, the political environment, you know, global trade tensions. How do we ensure that we build, you know, a business that can serve our clients well, sort of going into this period of difficulty?
So if I look at asset management and I think about where we are as an industry, I think the change has been coming. It's been coming actually more quickly than perhaps everybody realises. And we are really in the middle of a significant shift, I believe, principally driven by technology. Or maybe I would say technology and regulation. Mm. And those drivers have been moving at different speeds, but are profoundly changing the way in which I think we need to think about our business. If you wrap around that globalization, whatever that means, is that the shift in global trends, the shift between, big mm-hmm. business and small business, yep. between global and local, mm. between politics and how that impacts on the individual. Those are, I think, mega trend shifts. We've just got to plough a really straight and clear path mm-hmm. through that, mm-hmm. remembering why we're here.
Yep.
And why we're here is actually because we're entrusted with people's money.
Yep.
And if we come back to the very, very core of what we're here to do mm-hmm. and stay true to that, we can navigate this. Mm-hmm. But we have to make sure the business that we are operating in is resilient to those changes. And I think that you know, the purpose of an organisation becomes hypercritical when the world around you isn't staying still. Mm-hmm. But change is just here. Mm. So it's not that it's not that the world is changing.
Yeah.
It is changing yeah. now and every day. Mm. And we, you know, envisaging what the company might look like in another 50 years is really, really tricky.
Yeah.
But we have to be able to take those long views.
Mm. Sometimes you and I talk about, you know, what are the key things mm. that, you know, will mark out the companies that will survive the best. And I think perhaps one of the things we talk about a little bit is, you know, again, the closer we stay to clients and the mm. more we hear where they're going, the better chance we've got.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, we're not existing in a vacuum. Mm. And it's really important to understand it. We don't exist. Mm. other than because we have clients at the end of the day who need our help.
So as we're coming up to the end of the year and people are looking forward to a little bit of time off with their families, I wonder if there's a message you'd like to give to anyone who's listening.
I just like to thank clients for their business. It's really important to us. We really appreciate all of your support. And I look forward to continuing to work with you in the new year. And to everybody else, including you, Sarah, it's important to take some time off. It's important to have a break, right? We work so hard. I really appreciate everybody's hard work, and I'm sure our clients are the same. It's the time to take some time out.
Lovely. And I can't resist. I said I wasn't, but I'm going to say, what's your favourite moment so far? Have you got any favourite or funniest moments at Elgin so far that you can share?
Oh, gosh, am I allowed to share the one on my first day? Almost ending up in the gents' loo, that's probably, but yes.
Just getting locked in. It looks a bit chaotic as the CEO not to be able to find your way back into your own floor. Do you think that
one? Oh, we're getting locked out now. Gosh. No, we're on a roll. Thank you very much for reminding me of that one.
Anyway, lovely chatting.
So fantastic chatting to you as well,
Sarah. Thank you, Michelle,
very
much.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank you all for listening. Please do join us again next week when we have Sonia and Emil here to talk about the 2020 outlook. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcasts app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookouts for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. And to find more great content from Legal & General Investment Management, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.